Speak to you in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life. Amen. Please be seated. Today's readings are meant to stir up our hearts and to help us look closely at ourselves as Jesus invites the yet living disciples into his resurrection wholeness. The disciples encounter the risen Jesus with a mixture of fear, joy, disbelief, and wonder. We are called to be no less than transformed by the Holy One. But this process of transformation cannot really work if we are still holding on to our past sins or failures or anyone's else. We need to repent or have minds changed, turned around, renewed by our relationship with the resurrected one, and by seeking to live a resurrected life, for we are the Easter people. So the text this week helps us to understand the process. And what is the message? That repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to all people, starting in Jerusalem itself. So let us try and hear what Jesus is saying of the radical claim of his parting words, repentance. As we know, is to change one's mind. Sounds simple, but it isn't. For many, repentance can be more than a challenge. And it can go on and on and on to the very end of one's life. It has both the sense that we change our mind about something. And in this case, the meaning of the person Jesus and his life, death, and resurrection. And it also has the meaning to have one's mind changed by an experience, an encounter with the Son of the living God. Repentance, as we know, is to change one's mind. It has both the sense that we change our mind about something, and in this case, the meaning of the person Jesus and his life. The other side of this message is forgiveness of sins, which certainly needs dusting off. Sin, as we know, is simply a falling short, which is everything from morally evil, intentional behavior, to inadequacy and brokenness. Forgiveness is to be set free, not only from the consequence of our flawed nature and all our failures, but to be set free from the hold that sin has over each one of us. The epistle reading points to some consequences of God's cruciform revelation. God's children find their identity in the love of the Father. This love, and this love defines them. As we heard in 1 John's reading, it says, just as the world did not know Christ in his suffering, so also the children of God are not recognized by the world. That question always emerges as to what our identity is. People question, those who do not know Christ yet. And we continue to experience the demands of the world's extraordinary signs from God and from the people in order to find the Christian message believable. But all that God's children have to offer is love. And for the same reason, God's children also struggle with sin. On one side, you see an individual ready to express that love, and another side, another person is struggling because of sin. As God's children, if all we offer is love, I wonder if it is ever possible if we are not prepared to repent and change. How is that possible? Repent and change leads you. That becomes the starting point to love another person. Forgiveness of sins certainly needs dusting off. Sin, as we know, is simply falling short. So when we pair these two things together, we have a potent call to nothing less than transformation. That's the beginning. That's the turning point. That is when transformation takes place. And 1 John says in this way, "Beloved, we are God's children now. When we will be has not yet been revealed." What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. This is the process of profoundly being created, recreated, reformed, transformed by loving engagement with the loving Creator for all and his incarnation as one of us, Jesus the Christ. We are transformed, grown into our truest selves, changed into the likeness of Christ by seeing him as just the way he is. So then, how does transformation evolve? We look upon Jesus through the stories we hear, the word we absorb every day, the behavior of his disciples, the experience of receiving the sacraments, the movement of the Spirit blowing through and around us. So what we hear, or when we hear, what we read and study, who we worship with, all that matters. Lives are transformed only when we let go of our hatred. That's the starting point. Lives are transformed only when we let go of our hatred, animosity, discrimination, and ask God to create in us a brand new heart. Who else can do that? Can we change one another's hearts? I don't think so. We can ask people to change in their outlook, the way they dress, the way they present themselves. We can point to lots of other things. But what goes on in the heart, only God knows. God alone is in charge of that. He alone can look deeply into your heart. And only then, when we are willing to change and put our hands up and say, "Lord, I want to be transformed," God steps in. So this process of transformation cannot really work if we are still holding on to our past sins or failures or anyone else. And while we think of things in conventional human ways, we are still locked into a deathly embrace with fear of punishment and or the desire for retribution. Things can lead one thing to another if we are not willing to change. And that keeps growing in one's mind, in their heart. So the human system is sin, failure, crime, punishment, which eventually leads you to repent, mainly in order to avoid the said punishment. And then finally, transformation takes place. Whereas God's way of responding to the prodigal sons and daughters of this world, that is you and me, is sin, failure, crime, unconditional love and forgiveness, letting go and releasing, which leads to transformation, repentance. So transformation being forgiven and forgiving others and having our minds changed by an encounter with Jesus the Christ, an encounter, and that's very important. Without that encounter, there's no transformation. It involves being changed. I fondly remember about a wonderful experience I had. This was during the Holy Week. I was preaching on forgiveness many years ago. And I could watch in the congregation, there's one person who broke down, literally broke down. And I didn't know what was going on in her mind. And profusely she is weeping and weeping and weeping. And after the service, she comes to me and says, "Father, just now, after 26 years, I have forgiven my former husband. Only after I heard what you said." I refer to what Jesus is saying on the cross to the one who is seeking a place in his kingdom. And Jesus does not even hesitate. He does not even say, let me think about it. Does he say that? No. Instantly responds, saying, "For you will be with me in paradise today, just now." So forgiveness is all about that. Forgiving somebody just now. Not retaining it and keeping in our heart to build it up to a point where this becomes a point of no return. And we hear all the time from our friends, from our family members, no. This is a thing that is unforgivable. Wow. And yet, you declare to the world that you're a follower of Christ. How can that be? So there is no transformation here. The sin is growing, multiplying, to the point you have that vengeance leading to retribution. And she, after 26 years, she took that decision to forget. Her heart was so clear. She felt so happy. And I still remember that. People are struggling. They're even taking those grudges to the grave. We have to forgive. We have to learn how to forgive, and Jesus teaches that. On the cross itself, it is that simple. If somebody says something, somebody does something to someone, immediate action is forgive and close the matter. So transformation is never something we can achieve on our own and then offer our transformed selves to God as a thank you. Rather, it is grace. Love not earned but freely given that gives us the courage and desire to change and grow and to keep on going when the process gets confusing. We don't give up. As Maria Bolding, she is an English nun, a great writer and a translator. She says she is one of those translators who translated St. Augustine's Confession. And she says it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Don't get confused. But it is even more terrible to fall out of the hands of the living God. This is a wonderful book. It says Marked for Life, Prayer in the Easter Christ. It's a great read. So let us take courage and again give ourselves into the still scarred hands of the Son, of the living God, and give ourselves to being transformed. For we are called not simply to worship a resurrected one, but to be a resurrection people. For we have been declared as the Easter people. So, my friends, change and be transformed. And let go all those grudges, all those complaints that we have. Let go. Let us release that burden. We should do that only because of our risen Lord and Messiah. Hallelujah. Amen.